All right, well,
how's everybody doing besides struggling with a few things like this? Everybody all right?
Very blessed.
Very blessed, very good. Again, there is several people really battling. We battled sickness for several weeks ourselves and all, but there's a lot going around, ain't there? A lot of sickness and stuff out there. So it's good to see everybody. It really is. And over the last few weeks, we've been ministering on spiritual gifts. And if you're here today for the first time, I'll do a little quick recap of kind of where we've been. And some of you that's been here, I want you to go with me now and help me preach. Don't feel bad that you just speak out, all right? Well,
putting it away from the pocket.
Oh, okay. Why, do you think I might spill it on?
No.
I might get carried away now, really. Because we're in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I might get carried away right there a little bit. So, but mastering spiritual gifts, I believe, is where a lot of the church itself is really don't understand, you know, where they function in a lot of their gifts and their talents and all that and stuff. So let me just go back real quickly through a few things out of my notes and stuff. And Josh, you can kind of follow along with me. You know where we got to last week?
The plot I was on.
Results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. We'll back up a little bit and to the first, and we'll just do a quick recap, if that's all right with everybody. And I asked this a few weeks ago, and it was pretty funny. Everybody had different comments and stuff. And I said, what is the first thing that you think of when somebody talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit? There were several answers. One was the first one and most common one usually is what? Huh? Speaking in tongues. Okay, yeah, that's right. And what was the other one?
Cult.
Yeah, Laura, she's sick today, but hers was cult. Anybody know what I mean? That's the first thing you thought about, what's a cult?
Yeah.
You know, but these are common things that people think about when you start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And mastering these gifts that we're going to be talking about and finding your calling, and you know, some of you may be more mature in God and you know some of your gifts and stuff, but what was the one thing that we began with a few weeks back with about the difference in let me ask my question. I got it over here. What's the difference between natural gifts and spiritual gifts? Somebody tell me.
What we're born with? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our natural gifts is what we're born with, right? It's our talents. It's the things we're born with. Now, somebody give me an example.
Music,
okay. Very gifted, talented, Penny's, you know, talented singer. I mean, I'm not. You know, I can sing in the shower pretty good, but what about somebody else? Give me something.
Athletic.
Okay.
Physical ability. They have natural physical.
Very good. What else?
Driving
the race car. There
hand
we go.
Coordination.
Yeah, hand-eye coordination, right? What else?
Intelligence.
You got this brain, this big brain, right? Who else? Come on. Y'all participate. What you talented with?
I think giving. Some people more giving than others naturally.
Naturally more generous?
More generous, okay.
Naturally.
Now, giving is a gift.
I know.
And we're going to get to that on in the future. Very good.
Right,
but there is some people naturally that way. What else? What else, Bud? What do you think?
Mechanical ability.
Yeah.
Can't everybody be a mechanic, can they?
No.
Common sense.
Common sense. Yeah. Dante, what do you think? Being a carpenter, absolutely. Can't everybody be a craftsman, right? What do you think, Randy?
Leading.
Ooh, that's right.
Very good.
Great natural
talent. Mm-hmm. And that can go even into personalities, mm-hmm. types, right? There's different personality types, like A type, B type, and that's another something on down the road. But oftentimes we get those things mixed up, you know, in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual gifts. That's why I wanted to challenge you to remember that, you know, the baptism in the Holy Spirit also is totally different in a lot of way in the service of, like, tongues, okay, and stuff. Now, there's, I got another question wrote over here. One of the things was the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gateway to the spiritual gifts. In other words, and going back to the few weeks ago, what's the difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts?
The Holy Spirit is a gift God gives to us. Holy Spirit is given to us, so He is a gift to us, and then He is inside of Him are all of the spiritual giftings of God.
Yes, so the manifestation comes through Him.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we get that mixed up a lot of times. There's a difference.
That's good. What she said in between what you said with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of us, and He has inside of Him all of the qualities and the powers and the characteristics of God, and then they have to be manifested inside of us, which is what happens when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like it releases all of the gifts that are already in us.
Very,
and then they start manifesting.
Very good. Leading to my next question. So can anyone be baptized in the Holy Spirit?
If they have the Spirit of God in them.
No, I didn't ask that. Can anyone be baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
If
they're born again.
If they're born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. And there is a two separate things. Is salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same thing?
No.
See, this is where it gets lost in the church, in the translations, mm-hmm. in the things, you know, whether in denominational things. Because every believer is born again, receives what?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Even Jesus, we talked about that last week. But there's more. And that's why I challenged over the last few weeks, are you open for more? Are you open to understand that there was more? Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus Himself said, greater things shall you see.
And do.
Because what?
I go
to the Father.
And I will send.
And Him and the Father will send another. Mm-hmm. Which is what?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Right. We're going to be over in John 14 today if you got your Bibles and all. So with that said, and I mentioned this last week, that used to trip me up as a young believer. Wait a minute, greater things, you know? I mean, here's Jesus, you know, He did all these miracles, all these things. But yet, that's what He said. And so, but when I started studying, when I started understanding what it meant, was that's why He told the disciples to go and to wait and tarry to receive another, and He would come. Now we're going to be over there. So, all right, I'm going to bring on out, let's see, is there any more questions I had? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Anybody remember that?
Comfort.
For comfort, absolutely. He come to comfort. What else, though, did He come for?
Lead and guide us.
What else?
Dunamis.
The one that's always the last one, though.
Dunamis. Dynamite.
Convict
the
world
of sin.
Of sin. We don't like that one. That's the one we, you know, it's on down with third mention. There's a reason for that, because we don't like that one.
He does it because he loves us. He does it because he wants to lead and guide us, like Bud said, into all to the truth. He's the one that's comforting us when we have deaths, when we have things in our life that are hard. He is the one that's why Jesus said greater things. Although Jesus he's in Jerusalem, his ministry was in that area. He wasn't over in Canton, Georgia, right? He wasn't over here in Sixes Road or any around, because he knew. He had his task, but the Holy Spirit, he had his task too, to come after Jesus had accomplished what he accomplished. So, all right, enough questions. We're going to talk about how we maintain the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And back to where we were, Joshua.
The results of baptism?
Yeah, we stopped at the result of the Holy Spirit. And we had just gone over how to receive, right? Maybe we should go back there. First of all, was build a good foundation. What does that mean? Building a good foundation. First of all, you must believe that the Bible is what it is, and what it means, and what it says. Without believing, you're no different than Nicodemus, okay? In John 3:3, who was Nicodemus?
A Pharisee,
which meant he was what?
A Jewish leader. A teacher.
He was like the church preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call it back then in that day. He was a leader in that sect of the Pharisees and the Jewish people. But in John 3, Jesus says, lest a man be born again, he can't what?
Understand.
He can't understand. He can't see the kingdom of God. So you have to be born again. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back, and I shared last week about how anybody besides me maybe come from church. Or, you know, I come from a little Baptist church, and I've come through there. And yeah, I believe I was saved in vacation Bible school when I was 10 years old, but I was not discipled. I didn't understand what it meant to have a Lord. So what happened in my life? I went and did it my way. They wrote a song about that, didn't they? And so I didn't understand what it meant to have a Lord. And the Bible, I could not understand it. Now, I was a believer, but I was so young that I was like a baby. I was a baby in Christ. So we have to mature and grow up, and how we do that is studying the Word of God. This is our food. This is what makes us mature and grow. Now, so the Holy Spirit is for all believers. We got to understand that. We got to know that. But we need to build a good foundation. We talked about that. The builders in the house, those people who do constructions, if you don't have a good foundation, what happens? It falls down. It's like the house is in the Bible of Matthew. It says it's like a house built on the sand. It ain't going to last, is it? It's going to wash away eventually, and it's going to fall. That's the seed. You heard the analogies of the seed. The good seed, one sown on what? Rocky ground, or one by the wayside, one rocky ground, one in the good ground. So it's the same thing. So you have to build a good foundation. And we've seen where the Word talked about that in Acts 1 and 5 and 8. Somebody want to read today? Flip over there, somebody read that to me. I think it's important. We need to go back over this little part real quickly.
Acts
Acts 1, 5, and 8. Now,
John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
What stands out to you in that scripture?
Witnesses, power.
And what was that word we talked about, what it translated as?
Dynamite.
Dunamis in the original language, which we get our word dynamite from. It's like, boom, you know, you got the power. And so that's one of the things that we got to understand about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people who are powerless out there who are believers. They believe. But believing just isn't enough. To live this life, anybody besides me, is it hard sometimes? We talk about it every week in our ministries, whether in jail ministry, whether in here or CR or anything. Whatever your hang-up is or your addiction or any of those kind of things, they're problems. But most of your biggest problem is life. And knowing how to deal with life and doing things that you've learned to cope in your life with, that whether it works or it don't work, it's patterns and stuff in our life that we do. But this is what Jesus is trying to give them, something more, to where they're not like Peter, who's, you know, one minute saying, "You are the Christ," and the next minute saying, "I don't know that man over there." Anybody know what I'm saying? And it's the same thing in Christianity today. When we face adversity, when we face people who we need to really be a witness to, what are we doing? Where are we? Are we really giving them the gospel? Are we really giving them hope through that there is something better? Or are we just, you know, kind of, okay, I'll pray for you, and walking away? Melissa knows this. I've told this, you know, myself. If somebody asked me to pray for them, I said, okay, let's just do that right now. The expressions I usually get.
That's right.
Because they're not really expecting you to grab their hand and say, okay, let's pray right now. But see, I'll forget. Honestly, I might have good intentions to go pray with them, but I got so many things going on. I need to deal with it right there. And that's exactly what God really wants us to do. If somebody asked you to do that, you need to do that right there. It doesn't matter if it's in Walmart, over at Kroger, anything else. Because you don't even know what's going on around you that even others may see. I've prayed with people before in a line at Walmart and had to step aside out of the line and pray with people, and then had somebody come up with tears in their eyes and said, "Thank you." I'm like, okay, well, thank you for being a witness for God. Would you pray for me? And then I have another prayer there. And then it goes on and on. So you never know. But this is the key to what Holy Spirit wants to impart in us. That power, as it says in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be what? My witnesses. And he uses, of course, in that geographic, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the remotest parts of the earth.
Everywhere.
That's why he said greater things. Because Jesus was right there in that time, in that location. He wasn't overseas in Africa. He wasn't over here and over there. He had 32 years of a lifespan to accomplish what he had to accomplish. So, even to this time, the disciples who walked with Jesus saw the miracles. It was a part of them. They still didn't get it. Why didn't they get it?
They couldn't see. They only saw with their eyes.
Mm.
Good.
They only saw with their eyes. They were still in the mindset that this is rabbi, right? Teacher. He's teacher. He's this. And then some of them would say, "What? Some say you're what? Elijah. Some say you're and this prophet." And he challenged them and said, "What? Whom do you say that I am?" Even at that time, the Spirit will come upon Peter and he says, "You are the Christ." See, at that time, the Spirit, just like in the old, would come upon people,
yeah.
Right? It's just like, just encamp around them and they would move or hear the Spirit of God. So they hadn't retained the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. The gift of the Spirit yet. So, does that make sense? Is everybody up to par with me now? So building a good foundation's key. And the other thing next was prepare your heart through repentance. Can I tell you, the way to God is through repentance. If we do not have repentance in our life, we will not be converted. That's why it says in Acts 1, 9, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and what? Be converted, that your sins will be blotted out." We feel sorry for our sins, and we think about them, but do we truly repent of them? Now, that's another question. That's another thing. It says true repentance brings godly sorrow. It's not feeling sorry that you got caught.
That's
right. It's feeling sorry that you grieved Holy Spirit, as it says.
Right.
It's feeling sorry that you grieved God and that you have separated yourself from God because your sin will always separate you from God. And the only way back to the righteousness and the right standing with God is through repentance.
That's right.
Humble yourself and through repentance. So that was one thing. Develop a spiritual hunger and thirst, like our song this morning. Thirsty, Lord. You dry and thirsty.
Send your rain.
Send your rain, Lord. And what is the rain a representation of?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. It's an infilling. It's something that just cleanses you, and then it empowers you to be a witness. All right, number four, ask the Spirit-filled believer to lay hands on you. We talked about that last week, that it can be an impartation of laying on of hands.
Yeah.
A lot of denominations don't do that and don't believe in that, but it is biblical.
That's right.
And there are scriptures. Acts 19:6, 9:17, 8:17. And it doesn't mean one of these fake falling outs in the floor stuff. It means that can happen, and it does happen, okay? And I've seen people fall on concrete after being laid, their hands laid on, and bam, hit their head. I'm thinking, that's going to leave a mark. And maybe a blood spot. Seriously. And get up and never have a knot on their head. No blood there, you know, and bam. Not even remember what happened because God was so powerful in that whole experience. Now, trust me, I've been in this long enough to know that there's fake, okay?
Yeah.
That there's a lot of fakers, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people who do that. We're going to talk about discerning of the spirits coming up in weeks to come and all that. But it is an impartation of faith from my faith to you to receive, okay? So, and there was scripture for that. You can write them down and look them up. And five, the last one was asked in faith and expect to receive it. You're never going to receive more power from God unless you ask.
That's right.
It says you have not because you ask not.
That's right.
Now, I believe that's what it's talking about. I mean, yeah, there's things we need for our ministry, for our life, but most of the time it's selfish stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm talking about asking more of God. I'm talking about asking something that's going to help you through the day. that God wants to give you the strength, the power to do it, that you have not because you ask not. Why don't you ask?
Because you want to use it for selfish reasons.
Or we want to do it on our own. Or what? Come on. What do you think?
We're afraid.
We're afraid? Yeah. When we get on this subject, the chair's empty. When we go, and this is where we were to be filling the house. There ain't greater things going to happen until you believe. And when you come believing, when you come expecting, that's why I challenge you, are you open to say, I want all of you, God. I want all of you. I don't know about you, but I got to have him all. Ronnie's a selfish person. I was in my call my BC days. It was all about me. Love meant the giving of given to Ronnie, not for the benefit of others. It was all about giving to Ronnie and what Ronnie would take. Ronnie, it makes him feel better. But I come to the realization and understanding that's so opposite of what love really is. It's the giving of yourself for the benefit of others. It's all kingdom purpose.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room's calling is about kingdom purpose. It's about those who are lost and dying out there in a world that needs to hear hope. And there's a future. It doesn't matter even if you're facing death. God says, you don't fear death. What, you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How in the world can you do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How can you face adversities in your life without some power from on high? That's the grace. That's the grace. That word grace is the same thing. It's supernatural power from on high. It isn't a grace that just gives you what you want. It's a grace that He gives you what you need.
That's right.
When I am weak, He is strong. John recognized this when they come to him in the first book of John, and they said, well, this guy over here, and they didn't even speak his name, Jesus, he's over there baptizing. He's over there baptizing this, and they come to John because why? Because he was the forerunner, right? For Christ. And they were basically saying, why is he doing that? And they were on John's side. He said, John humbled himself. He says, I must decrease so that he must increase. Get that revelation. You have to decrease so that he will increase.
But if it's the other way, he must increase, I must decrease.
It's the same thing.
We
have to fill him with ourselves. We have to let him be the one that can do it. But John was making a point. Listen. Yeah, I baptize with water. And then he says, but the one that comes after will baptize with what?
Holy Spirit
and fire. That's what we're talking about right here. All right. Good stuff. Results of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's go there. I got about 10 minutes. The results of the baptism, it releases boldness in the believer's life to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Y'all still over there, you see Acts 1:8. Look at 2:14 and 41. Now who's this old cat right here? Peter. Can you imagine? These people know all these 12 disciples, right? They knew the one that killed himself. That's one of the 12 who betrayed Jesus. They knew Judas. They knew Peter here, and Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, right? Do you think he blew his witness? Absolutely. But look right here. What is this about? Peter's sermon. Let's back up. Look at 2:0. It talks, this is the day of Pentecost. This is what he had told them. In 4, I'll just go there. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now let me stop there and say something. This is not the tongues Paul's talking about. Okay? The unknown tongue. This is a tongue where if you're from Ghana, Africa, and you speak Twi, all of a sudden I'm from Canton, Georgia, old country boy, and God gives me the power to speak in your language.
Mm-hmm.
Or this language. Or this language. Why do you think he did that? He wanted to convince them all that these average Joe fishermen, these guys, there is something different about them. That's what he wants to do with every Christian, every believer. But do you see that in Christianity today? Do you see it in the churches across America?
No.
Do you see it? One minute they're all out at Cowboys and doing things on Saturday and Friday night, and the next day they're over there at church. Oh, hallelujah. What's the witness today in all our lives? What's the witness in your life today? Come on, it's challenging, but there is an infilling for the outward expression too, and that's what this is talking about. Now look at Peter. After he had been filled with the Holy Spirit, 14 through 41, we won't read them all, but Peter taking his stand. He took a stand. I like that. With the 11, why was there 11?
Judas was gone.
Judas was gone. He done killed himself. He fell on the... All right.
He hung himself.
Hung himself, and it says he split asunder, so we don't really know if he fell on something and it split him open, whatever. But raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose." For it is only the third hour of the day.
9 a.m.
9 a.m. in the morning. They ain't drunk. Okay? That's what they were murmuring. These guys are drunk. They've been drunk all night. What in the world? So Peter addresses it. But I'm not going to go through all of it. But he goes on with the power of the word with a message. And when he got through preaching, how many got saved? Over 3,000, it says, were saved in that area. He come from being a denier three times to the, what? A powerful preacher who stood, as it said, in his boldness. He stood with the Word of God from on high and proclaimed the Word of God. Okay? Now, here's a bunch of other scriptures, and I'm not going to go over all those, but... So it's to release the boldness of the believer to proclaim the gospel of Christ. It releases prophetic utterance and declaration of praise. Acts 2 and 4 tells that we just read a minute ago. It releases the greatest desire to pray and worship. Acts 2 and 41 says, "So then those who had received his word were what? Baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." It increases a deeper desire for God's Word. John 16 and 13. It's the doorway into supernatural living. Hebrews 6, 4, and 5. It's the doorway to spiritual gifts. How many want some spiritual gifts to function in their life? It gives power to fight the enemy for spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:11. Who knows that scripture? Ephesians 6:11.
Is that the armor of God?
Ephesians 6 is, yeah. It's about the armor of God. It's the doorway to signs and wonders. Are we seeing signs and wonders these days? Very little. You hear of a move here and there, a little bit of power of God. But going back to what I said before, you have to want it. You have to seek it. You have to go after it. These, it don't say how long they waited in that upper room, does it? I believe there's tests in their life. God will challenge us. He let Job get, you know, open to it, didn't he? Why wouldn't he? Yes. He let Jesus, it says the Spirit, what?
Led him into the wilderness.
Now, did God think he was going to fail? No. We have free will, but he knows the intent of our heart, doesn't he? He knows where our hearts is. So, and how to maintain the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go there. Acts 4:31. Look at this. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. That's one scripture. By worshiping more often in the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18-19. How do we maintain it? By reading God's Word. By living according to God's Word. Guys and gals, I guarantee you, and I challenged last week, and it looked like a bunch of people either sunk down or whatever in their seat and didn't look me in the eyes anymore. What did God tell you yesterday when you read His Word? Because when you read His Word, something comes in your spirit, right? So why do we leave out one of the most powerful things in our life? We're busy, ain't we? We're doing so many things. We forget about it. And then we pull it out when we're in desperation, don't we? Oh, I need to go back to church. I got my Bible. Pull it out. We start praying after God and all these things. What if it's a lifestyle? Wouldn't that change our life?
Yeah.
The first this year, you know, I went on a fast. And normally I do a month, but God says, how about two? Really? Okay. And then he says, how about a lifestyle? How about a lifestyle? I didn't look at the weight. I didn't get on the scales and look, no. And I said, Lord, this time, different. It has been different. But can I tell you, I've still been under attack. I've been under so many things right just the last week that without the power of the Spirit, there is no way I would have quit. I would have threw the towel in without that power from on high. Somebody say amen. Come on, if you know what I'm talking about. That power on high is the only thing that's got me through just last week. It might be today in your life, tomorrow, whatever. But you got to be in communion with God. You got to be in, first of all, repentance and right relationship with Him. And next, you got to know Him. You got to know Him. Most people don't even know God. Let's be real. The character of God. That's no sermon. All right. Results of yielding to the Spirit. And we're going to close. Your character will be changed.
Yeah.
Number one thing is your character will be changed. When you slip up, just like me, you cuss, you say one word. Oh, immediately I'd say, forgive me, Lord. Help me with my tongue. Forgive me, Lord. Help me. It's not enough sometimes to just think it. Sometimes you got to speak it.
Yeah, amen.
Because why when you speak it? God knows the intent of our heart, but we got to come out with it. Because not only does God hear it, the enemy hears it too. And says, whoa, this guy's for real. He starts backing off your life. He will. In the name of Jesus, you start claiming, you rebuking, and whatever it is in your life. Guess what? He has no authority. That's another sermon too. Your spirit will be stronger, Ephesians 3:16. What I mean by that? Somebody? How can your spirit be stronger?
You're reading God's word, you're praying, you're worshiping, you're going to church.
Now remember, I didn't say he will. He's always strong. Your spirit, we're body, soul, and spirit, right? So you build yourself up. You're building yourself up. Your spiritual walk. You're building up your own spirit. Look at Ephesians, 3:16. It says, Paul is talking on stewardship in 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be what? Strengthened with power through the His spirit in the inner man. Strengthening His power to the inner man. So it strengthens you as a believer. Your spiritual understanding will be enhanced. 1 Corinthians 2:12, along with increased love for God's word. John 16:13, your witness to others will be strengthened. You will be more assured of your salvation. Has anybody ever questioned their salvation?
Of course.
Everybody here, if you're honest, wouldn't you? If all of a sudden you're doing stuff, you know, and this and that. I don't even know if I'm really saved.
Or if God's real. If God's real. If God has His word to me, it's real anymore.
Right.
Does it even matter to
me?
Yeah. Yeah. Why do we do that?
Doubt,
hurt. What, Dante?
Flesh.
Yeah. We're moving in the flesh. We're not. I was talking to somebody yesterday about this. I kept hearing, I feel, I feel and I feel. Yeah, listen, we all have feelings and we all have emotions. But the problem is we don't even recognize this pattern in our life that we're being led by our feelings and our emotions, not by the Spirit of God. That's what it says. As believers, we're to be led by the Spirit of God into all truth then. You know, even if it doesn't feel right, even if it doesn't change your circumstance at that moment, you don't get exactly what you think you want. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you cannot go wrong. Okay? But one of the patterns in our life is we've learned, and we can look back and see these things, what we cope with. And a lot of times the feelings and emotions we have brought in to our life is what we always revert back to. Whether they're good or bad patterns in our life, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is what we live on most of the time in our life. That is something we have to break off of us. And the way that happens is through the power of the Spirit. Now, let me move on real quick. Your prayer life will be changed. Romans 8:26. You will have more victories over the fleshly desires. How many times have you known that you just like, well, I just, and heard this even, you know, it's just, I'm working on this. I'm really trying. Well, there comes a point in time where you've got to realize that you ain't being successful at this thing.
Yeah.
You know? Right. I mean, this is 27 times that you've tried to quit this one thing, and the reason why you hadn't submitted it to God.
You really don't want to give it up,
and you really not come to a humility of saying and being honest that you have a problem, you have an addiction, you have these things, and you can't, if you could have already done it, you would have been successful. You would have, right?
Yeah.
if you could already quit. All right, so you'll be more sensitive to the voice and guidance of God, the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to understand your calling more easily, and that's where we're going, and you'll be able to worship the Lord more freely. You won't feel uncomfortable when you come early and everybody's moving in the Spirit besides you, and you're sitting there, whoa, this is uncomfortable. You'll enter in. You'll find a place like everybody else that God, you'll say, I don't know, that's so... People are still struggling with raising their hands. What does that mean? I surrender. So, you know, you'll move more freely in that, and your love for the Father and Son will grow. Your love and concern for others will grow and will deepen. Okay? We're going to close here. Now, today I want to challenge you to... And some of you may already have, it's been coming, to pray and ask God, show me, is there more, I want more. And ask Him. You don't have to have me lay hands on you. You don't have to, you know, be at church or whatever it is. But will you seek God this week and ask Him, say, God, I know there's more. I want it. I want it all. I need it. Be honest. So I want to challenge you about that today. And then next week we're going to move on forward into the revelational gifts. Anybody remember the three that gifts that we talked about?
Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and what's the other one?
Okay, word of wisdom, word of knowledge.
Prophecy.
Discerning of spirits. Those are the three topics we're going to be talking about in the revelational gifts. Anybody remember those, the three gift categories? Besides revelational gifts, obviously. Anybody? Say again. Spiritual gifts? Well, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're actually divided in three categories, like I said. And the first one we're going to talk about, revelational gifts, okay? Which is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. The other is utterance. The utterance gifts, okay? Which is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And the next one is what? Power gifts.
Okay.
Power gifts. Faith, healing, and miracles. So all three of those categories over the next few weeks or so, we're going to be talking about, ministering in, and you'll be learning about. Anybody get something this week that maybe in all this that God's showing them one of their gifts? That you think you're functioning in or God's leading you toward? Somebody that already knows one, share one. Bug, I can pick on you. Tell me one of your gifts. In discernment, okay? And discernment falls in which category?
Revelation.
What we'll be talking about next week. Very good. Revelational gifts. It's revelation. Anybody else?
Today I wanted to give a little testimony of how God gave it to me to pray after receiving, but then asking him if it was for now and not just the church. And so I've been doing a lot of praying this week, and I know that's one of my gifts. And of course, when you pray, sometimes you get the other stuff. Okay, yeah, very good.
Anybody else? Anybody got any questions or anything they want to talk about? I didn't get into John 14, but I want you to challenge you this week to go and look in John 14 and read from 16 into 15. It's talking about the role of the Holy Spirit. And look at that a little bit, and that'll explain some more stuff. All right. I got some prayer requests from the jail. We're going to pray over those. We're going to have our prayer and for our offering, our tither offering today. Joe's not here, so we'll just pray over that. Any other special prayer requests today?
Also, I'll be starting a new women's step study. It's a nine month program, and it deals with your hurts, your habits, and your hang-ups. And it will be starting on Thursday night, starting at 7 o'clock at night here. It's from 7 to 9. Again, it's a 9 month long program. There are 4 little booklets. I will be leading it personally. This will be my 6th step study, I believe. Yes, my 6th step study. So I've already done this 5 years prior. So I'm a good guy to lead you through this. But if you've got anything going on in your life, emotions that overwhelm you, if you've got ways that you react or respond that you just can't stop yourself from doing, if you have reactions to people that you cannot control, any of these things, this study will blow it wide open and give you a hand in line. So, anyway, let me know if you're interested in doing it, and I'd love you to come do it with me.
Very good. And we, those who don't know, we meet here on Tuesday night for Celebrate Recovery.
Did you know that, you know the little bluegrass thing that Danny does?
Mm-hmm.
The guys that he plays with is Marcus and Morris Fox. Marcus' son was the one who got killed Friday.
Who?
Marcus Fox. Who was the guy that got killed Friday? I was thinking over his turn truck right here on 575.
I didn't hear about it.
It was Friday morning. I mean, that's my traffic was poor.
Oh, that's what happened?
Yeah. The truck went off the embankment. Anyway, Marcus Fox's son.
Was he a course teacher
at ECB for him?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, we should keep them in the prayer.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to pray for them.
Yeah. Anybody else? I don't have a pen.
Here you go.
Anybody else? Special prayer request?
Did you put my mom Dale down there? She went to the heart doctor.
What's her name?
Dale. D-A-L-E.
Yeah. And Marcus Fox.
Yes. That's the father. Yeah.
Thank you.
And of course the dumb. Well, you pray for the dumb.
Anybody else?
I have a price.
Trail is having stomach problems, kidney stones.
Laura's
having kidney stones. Go ahead, pray for her. Who?
Tell
my sister.
She just found out. My mom, praise report. Still calling from the hospital. Goes home from the hospital tomorrow.
Wow.
Praise God.
She, I talked to her yesterday, and I just told her. I had a little heart-to-heart with her, and said, Mom, I don't think you realize how serious this was. I said, but we got 2 phone calls that we needed to make some decisions about whether or not you live or die.
Yeah.
She said, what? She said, nobody's coming out. I said, well, I'm here to tell you. This is real.
Yeah.
This is real. It's time to get serious. And we cried and prayed, and
she's going to quit smoking.
I don't know. I give it to God. That's all I'm doing. But I'm super excited. She looked amazing. Amazing when I got there. Like a completely different person. She was just so happy to see me. And just,
yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So I thank y'all so much for this thing.
Absolutely. If you don't know, we got a little box over here on the side. We got some prayer request stuff there, some envelopes, and you want to sow into the ministry or whatever, you can write checks to Ministry House, or put your $1,000 bills in there, whatever, or your other prayer requests if they're personal or whatever, we pray over them. And well, thank you for that. One last in closing, there's this quote I love. Corey Ten Boom said, it says, let God's promise shine on your problem. I love that. Let God's promises shine on your problems. And whatever your problem is today, I just want to encourage you, God's big enough.
Yeah.
He's big enough to handle it all when you can. So.
Yes.
So know that today, and He loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I lift up every one of these prayer requests.
Yes.
These 8 men that needed you in prison, God, they're in jail, but their hearts are for their families and all the things they're struggling with. We lift them up to you right now. God, we pray for a delivering power, God, to reach these men and their families, God. We lift up right now Miss Dale, and we pray, Father, that you would just move in her life in every aspect, God. And Lord, give Debbie the strength to do the things she needs to do for her mother, and be a light to shine in darkness in places in her family that needs to hear the good news. I pray and lift up Marcus Fox and God, his family, God, the hurt I know that has to be going on with this family, God, for the loss of their son. And Lord, also for the Dunn family again, continue to, Lord, shine your love there, Holy Spirit. And God, Trella, and God, her, what she's going through with her issues and her stomach and her ovaries, and Laura, God, and for those even unspoken prayer requests, God, we give them all to you today. We thank you, God, that you love us despite our who we are sometimes, and God, you never give up on us. You never forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for every man and woman that's come today. Lord, may they be blessed today. May they rest today in you. And God, bless all the offering. Bless those who sow and give into the ministry so that we can give back. And God, Lord, that reach out to those who need the good news, Father, and bless the rest of this day and travel and mercies on everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.